Welcome to the Nourish Me podcast. I'm Joanne Pavin, your host. And if you found yourself here, you're ready to take actionable steps to optimize your health and live a more balanced, productive, and creative life. In our tech-driven world, we need a reminder to slow down, stop the scroll, and take digital breaks. I'm here to inspire you to step away from your screen, to nourish yourself through nature and connection to others, to follow a new algorithm, the rhythm of real life. So let's get started. My first guest is none other than Rebecca Woolley. She's a lifelong friend and fellow integrated wellness advocate. She's also a nonprofit entrepreneur, master gardener, and unofficial co-founder of this podcast. That's right, Rebecca and I came up with the idea of Terminal Talk over 20 years ago, before podcasting was podcasting. It sounds morbid, but it's not. While we were waiting for a flight at O'Hare Airport one spring morning, we imagined the interesting conversations we could have with the fellow travelers passing by in the terminal. And now, after all these years, our Terminal Talk has come to fruition in the first episode of Nourish Me. What a better way to kick off our first episode than with Becky herself. Today, we'll be discussing the importance of planting seeds, both physical and mental. We'll delve into Becky's journey into gardening, her work with school and community gardens, and the spiritual connection between humans and nature. We'll also explore the patience and trust required in the planting process. You'll be motivated by the deeper symbolism of gardening and hopefully inspired to reflect on what it means in your life. Rebecca is a certified massage therapist and light worker with a bachelor's in psychology. She splits her time with homeschooling her son and daughter with her time in her garden. She recently started the nonprofit Redeeming Roots, which supports homeschooling families and school gardens in Southern California. So, without further ado, let's dive into our conversation with Rebecca Woolley. And be sure to stay tuned till the end for a guided meditation on planting mental seeds. Welcome, Becky. How are you?
I'm great.
Good. Good to see you. It's been so long in the making, right?
I know. It has been. I'm so excited.
I want to start today. I want to share a little bit of our story because it has deep roots. And since we're talking about planting seeds, and we're in the planting season, our roots go back a long way, right? I want to say probably
23 years now.
Yeah. Or even longer. Oh yeah. Don't age us.
I'm just thinking of when I moved, when we were on the flight to California, that was 23 years ago.
You're forgetting all the childhood.
Right.
You don't.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Becky, I call her Becky, but she's Rebecca. Today she's Rebecca Woolley. And I want to say that I've known her for a lifetime because we met when we were young. And so our roots are deep. So speaking of roots, today we're going to be talking about a lot of things that have to do with cultivating soil, not only for planting physical seeds, but also for planting mental, emotional, and spiritual seeds, right? And there's no better person to do this than you because you are so cultivated in your faith, in your family, in your profession, in everything you do for the community. You are way overqualified for this discussion. So I want to enter into this with asking you just about an overview, because I know that you've been gardening for over a decade now. You can correct me, but it's been like way over a decade, right?
Yeah, pretty much. When Davini was in utero.
I want you to take us back to when you really got into physical planting, like the gardening that you do now, and how that came about, or the interest, or what led you to that, if it was rooted in childhood, or if you just took it up as an expectant mother, and tell me how you were inspired to do that.
Like I mentioned, in utero when I was pregnant with Davini, Ben was my first. And then I was just, you know, tramping around the ocean with him. But then when we moved to the suburbs with Davini, I got pregnant and just really felt like we had our own piece of land, our own plot to kind of invest in and start digging in. And so when I got pregnant with her, I just felt really, really called to just be in the soil. Like I took a composting class. And so I started learning about just the elements of the soil and what that all, you know, contains and how soil is made through composting. And so I just got really passionate about just getting my hands in the dirt. And consequently, I mean, she's such an earth baby. She loves being around the dirt and being with horses and whatnot. So I don't know how much of a thread goes through, but that's where it all started. And so she's 12 and a half now. So that's kind of where it all started.
And you started seeing the significance of it because you brought that craft to her school. You started the Paloma School Garden. That was something that you saw was dead and you brought it back to life.
Yeah. And it was when the kids started in Montessori school. So Ben started as a kindergartner in a Montessori school, and it was like a grassroots school. We were going to start a garden on the side of the parking lot. And that was my way to be at the school and helping and being with the kids, but not too, you know, over invasive in the classroom and just giving them their space to have a school experience. But being out there and providing that respite for the kids through the garden, and then also teaching them about where their food comes from. And it just, all of it started to kind of like take root and shape being in the academic setting with them, and just also being able to provide this garden space for the whole school. So that's where, that started at their school. And then when they went to the school down the street, Paloma, that you're talking about, was, yeah, they had a garden plot that was abandoned over the years, but they had a space that was set up for gardening, and we just kind of took that over, and it just flourished just from the kids wanting to be in there. And I can hear your kids.
Yeah,
so it was awesome. I've been in the garden with the kids, and now we're starting another one at the school that they're at now. It just seems like a natural thing. I've found that the kids just really enjoy it. The kids that really enjoy it actually are the kids, though. It's interesting. We have so much trauma in our society these days. A lot of kids that are on the spectrum or have different anxiety issues and stuff, those are actually the kids who enjoy it the most, which is interesting, I've found. So
yeah, no, that's a good conversation to get into as well. But tell me, because I'm so drawn to the artwork behind you. This is important. You are sitting in front of a beautiful piece of artwork, and I just want you to touch on that because it integrates everything that is really about your gardening and the soil and the cycle of education. Can you share a little bit about that piece of art behind you?
Yeah. I don't know if you can see it, but it's like four different quadrants on it. And yeah, that if anyone wants to look at it, it's on our website, the Redeeming Roots website. It's redeeming-roots.com. And you can find it there just to get a closer look. But it does, it's called The Balance of Education. And it came alive from giving my friend Elizabeth, she's an artist, the vision of what I felt like I was trying to communicate to people constantly, what I felt like was the balance of education. And I felt like people didn't really get a grasp of it unless they could see it in, you know, an art piece or something, you know, visual in front of them. And so we worked together and collaborated on her creating it. And it just has four different quadrants, basically. And it's supposed to represent like a balanced school day for the kids. So, you know, they're involved in one of the quadrants is there's academics. And so they're involved with their academics. They're studying, you know, it's got all the books. The base of the books is the Bible, of course, you know, just coming from just a firm foundation faith. And then outdoor time they have in the garden. And then there's music, art, and also sports. The education system, the way that it's been going towards, it's really heavy-handed on the academic quadrant of their day. And so these kids are losing just this balanced sense of being a whole human, holistic person, of just going out and kicking a ball around, or digging their hands in the soil, or playing with the bugs during a recess time, or, you know, playing an instrument or doing art during their school day. All these things have been starting to just fade away. And so just reintroducing the fact that these are elemental and needed during every single day. It's like, it's not like it just hit it once. Every day they should be going through this whole like balance of, you know, just like we eat three meals a day, you should just have the balance of their day to get a full experience and go to bed, you know, dirty and tired and, you know, tuckered out. So
a full holistic experience. That's awesome, because this is a holistic podcast. So I love that. And I want to go back to just the five senses, because you're talking about balance of education and engaging all of the senses. And when you're stuck in a classroom inside a building for 6 hours, that kind of restricts the ability for them to expand their senses. And so, all right, so let's go back to the garden, our favorite place. Yeah. I want you to get philosophical with us, because you can do that like no other. You are the queen of symbolism and relating all things spiritual to our physical world. And I think people really need that right now. So you have a gift of doing that. I remember this so clearly. You said it started in the garden. We need to bring them back to the garden, and that it's not limited just to the children. It's, I think, to everyone here on earth. It rings in my head every day. When I'm going out into nature, when I'm going into my garden, when I'm trying to teach my children about where food comes from. And I'm always telling them, you know, this is where everything comes from. It starts here. So give me your 30,000 foot view of that one liner, back to the garden.
Back to the garden. Yeah. Well, that's, you know, essentially as trying to define and why it's so important. I feel like you can learn every single thing in the garden. Being in the garden, there's so much to learn. But essentially, it's very simple that in the garden, we started out walking with the Lord and with God, and we left and we're, you know, put out of the garden. So it's just going back to that place where we can hear our Creator's voice again, and just in so many different ways. I just feel like just in all ways, and just connecting with that. And I just feel like we've lost that connection. I want to share with you this poem that I read from this book, The Dance, by Araya Mountain Dreamer. And there's a stanza in here, and it's just so beautiful. And it just kind of encapsulates what I'm trying to say. But it says, "Take me to the places on the earth that teach you how to dance, the places where you can risk letting the world break your heart. And I will take you to the places where the earth beneath my feet and the stars overhead make my heart whole again and again." And so I just love that. I feel like it speaks to the part of us that wants to connect so deeply, not only to the Creator, but to His creation. And until we can learn to listen to that, like a lot of people are very lost. And in so many ways, all the way down to now their identities, like they have no idea in who they are, who they're created to be. So for me, that's just so, it's just important to have a deep connection to the creation. And in the garden, I feel like that's, especially with children, with everyone, but especially with children, it changes the trajectory of their life in a good way. And so that's my passion. That's what I have feel like I have to bring to the world, is connecting the children not only to themselves, but to the creation and then the Creator. And that's it.
I love it. It's an awesome message to spread. And I hope that the listeners today, if they can refer the podcast to those who have young children, it's so important. With that being said, let's go back to the seeds, because we have deep roots. Our seeds were planted by our parents because they were friends. And then we cultivated that through a professional relationship when, you know, we worked briefly together in the early 2000s, and we were such an integral part in each other's path, because you've been my biggest fan in all of my entrepreneurial endeavors. So let's go back to the seed. We plant seeds. Okay. You have such a great analogy to seeds being planted and then the patience that's required, right? You spoke of just being patient and not trying to peak or to anticipate the growth. Can you expound on that? Because it's so important. Like sometimes we want that seed to grow and it's too early. I love that. You had mentioned that we have to be patient. I thought maybe you could make it sound a little more metaphorical.
No, yeah. Yeah. No, it's a good point.
We peak and I want to tell
it's a really good point. No, it's a really good point. We've talked about this a lot. I feel like it's difficult. It's difficult to trust the process. I find this so, this is like hallmark of starting a new garden. You know, you talk to a bunch of people, you know, in the community, hey, let's start a garden. Oh, that sounds great. You know, it's wonderful. We're going to get it going. And inevitably, like people can't trust the process of like, this is going to take shape in the way that it's meant to take shape for this space, this part of the land, the plot of land that we've been given to steward. And because it doesn't always look the way that you envision or think, like it usually doesn't have squared out lines. It's not, you know, it's kind of like evolved. And so that's where I feel like there's so many different things in the garden when you start this process of making a garden or planting good seed, is that you have the best intentions of what's going to happen, but you don't necessarily know how long it's going to take or the process. And we can look to nature to know generally, like you put a seed in the ground, you water it, it sprouts up, you know, and then it goes through a cycle and then it sprouts it goes to its own seed and then it dies off and that whole process. And it's hard to go through that process. I feel like mentally, emotionally, spiritually, it's like, it's very reflective of what happens in our physical, our being, as humans. And so I'm always watching and just seeing how I've told you that story about my gorgeous poppies in my front yard, you know, they are blooming and they're just the glory of the neighborhood. You know, you drive down and it's just like, wow, that's amazing. And then, and then I turn around now and it's like they've gone to seed and I'm waiting to pull them out and it looks like a dead wasteland in my front yard, you know, and what of an embarrassment. But next season's growth is in that seed pod, you know, of the wisdom. And that's kind of like the conversation that we're having right now. It's like the wisdom, what are the seeds of truth that you and I both learned from this last season of life that we're bringing forth to then put out into the world? What seeds of truth do we have? And not many people, you know, they want to pull them out or it doesn't look right or it doesn't look, or they don't value the fact that there's so much seeds of truth in the life journey that, I don't know, curate them or, you know, fix it, you know, to make it look a certain way. And so I don't know.
And not all of the growth is going to be pretty either. Not all of the growth will look like we want it to look. And some of the seeds will thin out and we'll have to, you know, either throw to the side or they won't take again in their new spot in the soil. So there's all of that can be taken into account when we think about how they relate to our mental and our emotional. So that we are continually having to clear our thoughts and prune our thoughts and thin our thoughts. And with that, you know, we get overgrowth in our minds and we have to breathe it out and, you know, let it go. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And we know that because Rebecca and I share history and body work. So we know that too well, right? The breath is so powerful in relaxing the mind, but the muscles and the entire being. And if you don't use the breath, you're stagnant. And the breath is like the air for the seeds, right? We need air, water, nutrients, nourishment.
Yeah.
So bringing it back to like the whole theme of the nourish me nature. Mm-hmm. It's really, this is nourish me nature talk here. It's about that nourishment and it's a full cycle of nourishment. And we can look at it from seed to plant to fruit and then death again, that our ideas are the same way and our ideas can come and flourish or they can die in their tracks. So what do you want to add, if anything, to the concept of soil cultivation seed, growth, fruits, vines. What do you want to add to that? Because there's so much that I'm sure we could add, but what would you want to add that would be good for the listeners to take away? Like some mental seed that they can plant and take with them after listening.
Well, the biggest thing for the like we were talking about, going back to trusting the process and the mental seeds. Like I tell this to the kids all the time in the garden that, you know, you talk about having a green thumb in the garden. Everyone's really familiar with that phrase. But when I'm talking with the kids, I'll say, you know, we need to have a green tongue. And I explain to them what I mean by that is that the tongue is, you know, it can be the source. It says in Proverbs 18, death and life are in the power of the tongue. You know, you have the power of life in your tongue, and it comes from thoughts, comes out, you know, we can put death or life on someone. And so it's like, we have to be very conscious. I feel like, in the mental seeds, what are we reproducing, out in the world? Because you have the ability to speak death into someone and discourage them, and it goes to destruction.
Right.
Or you have the ability to,
the power
you have the power in the tongue to, you know, or to speak truth and encouragement and life to someone, then that reproduces. And the way that you can tell the difference is, you know, is just the feeling in your heart center when that's spoken over you. It's like, you know, does it feel like the fruit of this, like a spiritual fruit, joy, peace, love, patience, kindness, goodness, you know, patience, self-control, you know, does that heart feel like that? And so you're going to then receive that. It's going to have a seed in you that's planted that ultimately has the ability to reproduce itself. That's life change. That's world changing. You know, when that lesson comes out in the garden with the kids, again, trajectory changing for the kids in the garden, because it's like, oh, I have the power now to just like the seed, you know, in my tongue. And so, I don't know. That's all I have to add to that. As far as like when I'm in the garden with the kids, I really am. It's teaching them lessons about not only the physicality of what's happening, but like, because we're humans and we have the ability to, you know, process and think, that we have a greater responsibility on those next to us, you know, other humans, that we have the ability to speak life over them and into them, which is a beautiful thing. It's a loving thing to do. So that's what I have to say about mental seeds in the garden, which is a really awesome, I feel honored to be able to like talk about that with the kids when we're in the garden. I feel like that's kind of like the whole point of all of the other stuff, is like, how do we communicate and interact with each other as human beings? Because we're seeing how this all plays out, you know, with the plan, but how does that translate human, and what we say to each other.
And it can be beautiful and produce beautiful plants and fruit, or it can be ugly. And that's where I think people need to just mentally think about that everything that comes out of our mouths is potentially a seed, and those seeds hold divine power. They really do. Yeah. When you've had this experience with teaching people, adults, not children, but adults, about gardens, what's the biggest challenge for adults when they think about planting a garden? And that's a physical garden.
Like I said, the biggest thing, you know, I want to be positive in encouraging people to start and undertake that and to go out in their yards and do it. But, you know, there's, like I said, there's a preconceived kind of like idea, is how is this going to look, you know? And I can just tell you that, you know, my front yard, not many people do this, you know, it's like cover their whole front yard with mulch and garden beds, you know, and just because they're concerned about what the neighbors are going to think. But I can tell you that my front yard has become a source of community building. and that should be really at the heart of if you're looking to enrich your whole life situation with your kids and with your spouse, and go plant a garden and not be concerned about how it's going to look or if it's going to be, you know, people are going to drive by and, you know,
ornamental.
Ornamental. Set it aside because I mean, it's just like people get so hung up on that. And it's like, you know, I'm having a situation at, with the garden that I'm starting right now, with the concern of how it's going to look to the community. And as a leader, I have to roll with that, you know, and it's fine. It's because I trust the process, you know? So it's like people might meet up with these walls within themselves of, and then we just have to, just like anything, you know, see where the wall is and just hold space for it. And for that person, you know, and I'm trying to answer your question.
No,
and
you
I know
did.
I'm going around.
I think you absolutely did. It should be the growth and the process and not for ornamental satisfaction or for the ornamental reasons, you know, for the outward appearance. Although people do want to see the beauty in the garden when it's, you know, a center of a community, they do want to see that. But of course, if they trust, it always is, right? If they trust,
it always is.
Yeah, it always is. Again, it's societal. It's breaking through all of the societal the ingrained, you know, consciousness that we have about, you know, perfection and beauty, really, you know, people are so used to seeing.
Yeah. The other thing is I think that people, and this is something that I personally have had to break through my own, like, healing process emotionally, is that I feel like people, like there's a certain subset of rules, like there's a right way to do things and there's a wrong way to do things. And so I just challenge people to bust that completely out of their thinking. There's a million ways to do something, and it's your way that's going to be, you know, if people could have the courage just to start and to do something in starting a garden, planting a seed, and not knowing if, you know, a lot of times I'll get this question all the time is when's the right season to plant this? You know, I live in Southern California, so I can say we can plant anything anytime. It doesn't matter. You know, you can just throw a seed in and see if it works. Not so much by you guys, but that's the one question I get. Well, I don't know what to plant at this time or this, you know, gardening is, it's a 100-year process. You're always going to be learning and learning about your space. And that's the other thing, is that your plot of land or your little balcony on your apartment with your little pot is going to be your land that you've been given steward over from the creator. It's your responsibility to learn about it. No one's going to tell you, I can't give you, you know, a recipe for success on your plot of land there in your backyard. You know it better than anyone because you're stewarding that spot. You're listening. You're out there. You see the birds and the squirrels and everything, what's going on. And so I just feel like people need to, that's the beauty. That's the fun of it. And the beauty of it rips off all the rules. You know, and I've had to learn this, and it's gotten me stuck in a lot of ways, you know, like there's a right and wrong way, but there's a lot more to be gained with just like going and like, oh, that didn't work. But then now look at my poppies that are growing, like, you know, we're growing like crazy, and I didn't plan that, you know, but I had a full front yard of poppies because I just let it go and they spread. And that was beautiful for this last season. You know, you just can't plan those things. People would ask, they stop. How did you plan all these poppies? They're so amazing. And I didn't plan them. I just allowed nature to do its thing. And I wasn't too hung up on, you know,
right.
I just took out the weeds in between, you know, and that's like me and my gardener, he's really good. You know, it's like, if I see a flower in my yard or I see a tomato plant, like he knows, we both know, like, don't pull that.
Yeah.
You know, pull the weeds, but don't pull the, if it's a flower, don't pull it, you know, but a lot of times people, that's other thing, just learning what has truth and what isn't. That's another life lesson. Like with the weed, that's a big garden lesson we do with the kids.
Yeah. And that's a, yeah,
anything you don't want there, basically. Yeah. Anything you don't want there
is a weed. So, yeah.
Yeah. A rose could be a weed. If you don't want it in your garden, it could be a weed, you know, okay. Whereas anyone else, it would be their treasure, you know? So it just, it depends on what you want. And that's what I love too, is like your garden, your space, your land space is like such a reflection of your heart space. When you drive up to my house, you know, it's my house. Like I know you've never been to my house in California, but I know if you drove up the street and you didn't have my address, you'd know which house is mine.
Yeah, I know.
You would know.
It's emanating with white light.
Yeah.
And there's angels
flowers
singing
all over it. I mean, it's just like, yeah.
You have divine. You do. You have the beauty of the divine, and you know, there's that energy, the energy that is just emits from a pure heart. Like you said, you know, you have pure intention.
Everyone has, yeah. And everyone has their own imprint of like, you can tell, you know, it just reflects, you know, who you are. It's another, yeah. It's another expression of who you are because you've interacted with the earth in that way. Yeah.
I love it. And not to mention that, yeah. As we wrap up though, how relaxing it is to actually put mm-hmm. your body in the earth, like to walk with your bare feet in the soil. And you and I are big soil people. And that's like a whole nother discussion is, you know, the quality of your soil, not only your physical garden soil, but the quality of your mental soil. Like really, how good is your soil, yeah. you know? And that can be the soil of your heart, the soil of your mind, cultivating that. And there's a spillover in all areas. I mean, it's really, what's the quality of your friend field, your family field? How are you cultivating the field of your relationships? And it can go on and on. And it's all related back to those key points that you just brought up, which are beautiful because it's so symbolic. Yeah. People forget, you know, and so we're here to remind them, right? We're here to celebrate and reminding people to come back to that and to start planting something. So what would you say an actionable tip? What are they going to go out and do today? And this can be anything. I mean, it might not have to do with just like, oh, go to, you know, Home Depot and get your gardens. Like it can be mental, spiritual, physical. What do you want to say to them?
Okay. So I have two things. The two things that I noticed when I was thinking about our conversation was that I remember there was only one edible thing there was probably more edible things in the forest and whatever behind our house, but like one thing, because my mom didn't plant vegetable gardens. So right by the house, she had planted some mint. And I remember, I feel like that's where it all started because I was able to, that was the one thing I could eat in the yard, and it imparted a wisdom to me like, oh, I can, if I go outside, I can, like, that's the one plant I can eat. I feel like when kids have that realization that they can eat something that's growing out of the ground, even if it's something very simple, like a mint leaf out in the yard, it changes them. And I just think now here I am, it's all I do is garden and, you know, I'm outside. So it's just, I think it again changes the trajectory of your life. So it's super important, no matter what you have, even if you're not planting a vegetable garden, you know, to go out into nature and see things like, you know, I don't know, a neighbor's garden, whatever, like whatever you can eat, like if it's an edible flower or a mint leaf or whatever, to teach your kids, you know, you can eat that. It just changes things. Kids are not used to like feeling like that's safe. You know, they're like, oh no, I can't, you know, it's dirty. I can't do that. But the more that we can empower them with like, yeah, no, that's actually food you're supposed to eat. So anyway, that was one thing that I thought was super
important.
Awesome. It changed things because my mom didn't have a vegetable garden, which I think is still super fascinating to me. Still doesn't have one, but anyway.
Well, maybe after she listens, she'll start one. She'll say, darn it, Becky, after all these years.
Well, the deer. She always says the deer eats it all.
That's okay. I can go over and build her a deer fence. I'll do that.
Yeah. I know. I love those gardens with the tall fences. They're so pretty. And then just a tangible takeaway, the one thing I was thinking, like, what would be the one thing that I would say? And it's kind of weird because it's off topic, but the one thing I would say that would change, that's going to change your family life, and it doesn't have anything to do really with the garden, but it's when you set your table at dinner time, set your table intentionally for each person. And that's like, I feel like that would change our whole society. If it wasn't just the paper plates or the takeout food or whatever, I just feel like there's something, not only does it connect you to what you're eating and to the people that are there, but to have a sit down dinner and to set the table intentionally for each person that's going to be there, rather than just putting a stack of paper plates out. For whatever reason, I don't know why that came through, but it's for somebody, and it's maybe for everyone, is that to set the place for the person, you know, because I just know how that feels, I know how it feels when I'm doing it. Yeah.
And the candle.
Yeah.
And remember the candle in the center.
Yeah. The light. I know.
I'll backtrack into that. Becky contributed a beautiful article, and part of that article for the meal was about putting a candle in the center of the table to illuminate the faces around the table. I thought that was beautiful.
Yeah.
That, so I don't know if you even remember that you wrote that, but yeah, that was absolutely life-changing for me. Like, yeah, the light within us is reflected in our conversation around the table, but the light in the center of the table so that we can show each other. That main tip that you just gave right there, that's a segue into a whole new conversation we can have about the meal.
It certainly is. I think that's a good way to end
the meal.
I know it is. It's so important. I don't know why I felt the whole garden lesson, everything, people can plant a garden. I encourage people to plant a garden. Get out there. You can't make mistakes. That's not possible. What it comes down to is a connection with other people, the people that you're in relationship with. And the very simplest thing you can do is to make a meal for someone and to set a place for them on the table. And it changes. It's going to change.
And serve them the food from your garden.
Yeah, I know.
Amen.
It's a beautiful, simple life. Simple lesson.
It is. It's simple, right? But we've kind of, you know, mucked it all up in the last 50 years, right? Maybe even longer now, in the last 60 years. We got to get back to the basics. It all goes back to the basics, right? Ditch the paper plates and get the china out.
I feel like just to intentionally set that table and not be in a rush. I think that would heal not only the family, the nuclear families, and who you have as friends, as family, sitting at your table and community. It just changes everything when you share a meal with people. That's what we're called to do, is to break bread with each other. And you have a whole lifetime of bringing this message to people. And it's beautiful. And I'm honored to be talking with you and finally recording it.
I want to ask you this question. How will you nourish yourself today?
I'm going to go out in the sun because we have not, it's been May gray, June gloom out here. We've been sucked in. So I'm going to go out in the sun. It's very sunny today. So I'm going to go to the sun, lay by my pool. And
love it. I think that's wonderful. So with that, I want everybody to think about how they're going to nourish themselves. And I always want to wind this down with a breath. So together, let's do a guided breath exercise. So I invite you to close down your eyes. If you're driving, please keep your eyes on the road and just listen gently to the meditation. Take a deep breath in through your nose. And slowly exhale out the back of your throat. And you can do that a few more times on your own, inhaling, exhaling, preferably twice as long as you're inhaling. And just start to feel the tension let go. And I just like you to envision yourself in an open field, the beauty of the sun and the blue sky. Feel the warmth of that sun on your skin. Look out at the possibilities of the field. And now look down to your feet and to the ground underneath your feet. And take notice of the soil. And with each breath, I want you to imagine your mind like an open field with infinite possibility for growth. And I want you to focus now on one seed that you can plant in that field. What will that seed represent? When you have that seed in mind, just gently put it into the ground. Cover it with soil. And then I want you to look up into the sun and the sky and just say with your hand on your heart, I trust the process. And now when you're ready, slowly open your eyes and remember today with each seed that's planted, we have to trust the process.
Hey guys, it's me. A quick reminder to go to nourishmepodcast.com. There you can grab a free download of my food rules for healthy digestion when you hit subscribe and subscribe to the newsletter to stay up to speed with our latest episodes and upcoming guests. Thanks for listening. And if you feel inclined to nourish this podcast, please leave a 5-star review wherever you listen to podcasts.